This morning we looked at scriptures that James wrote to his readers, and in it we noted a number of things that he had written that they must do in order to get right with God. And this afternoon, as we study verses 11 and 12, you'll see that these verses have to do with what we call vertical relationships, that is, fellowship with other people in the congregation. Verse 11, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" There is a principle here that we need to understand before we begin our exposition of these two verses. And that principle is that we cannot be right with God and wrong with one another. The idea that I'm right with God, but I, by the things I say about you, seek to destroy you and to ruin you, or that, as James has written earlier about those who have a brother or sister naked and destitute and come to them and they simply make a statement of depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, John states that you can't say I love God but I hate my brother, because these are two totally inconsistent and contradictory things. The idea that I can be right with God, but I can be wrong with you here who are my brothers and sisters in Christ, that I have an animosity and an anger, that I plot your downfall, that I rejoice when I see bad things happen to you, that I'm always glad if when I hear that you're ill, or I'm always glad when I hear that you may have lost your job or something happened to one of your family members. The idea that we're going to exist as a congregation of people with God hearing our prayers and our work for God being accepted is simply not true. So James has informed his readers of how they may restore themselves to fellowship with God. And if they do these things, they will be in fellowship with Him, the things that we mentioned this morning, beginning with verse 7, where he writes, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." And as they did these things, there would be radical change in the way they lived. And this change is brought about by repentance. The Corinthian church did a lot of bad things. Paul wrote to them, and it touched their hearts, and they saw themselves for what they were, and they repented, and this repenting caused them to change their lifestyle. And I pointed out this morning, and it's true, it's very difficult for any of us to change. We have to want to change badly before we will do the things that make us a different person. In fact, I'm just, you know, it's almost safe to say that very few people ever really change. I think you may know of some people in your lifetime who have changed, and it wasn't just a surface change. It wasn't just a temporary change, but it was a long-term change that was dramatic, and they behaved themselves far differently than they had before they made the change. But in order for these people to effect a complete restoration of fellowship with God, they must restore fellowship among themselves. Now, when James writes of speaking evil of one another, this idea exists. They were actually, as we say in Arkansas, running down one another with the idea of harming or causing that person to be less than they could be. One cannot be in fellowship with God and at the same time be at war with God's people. And that doesn't mean that we're to condone sin or that we do not denounce doctrinal error. But here James deals specifically with a sin of judging one's brother with harsh criticism so as to destroy that particular person. In verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. This again has in it the idea of defaming, to use harsh words against someone who at that time is not present. It always has in it the idea of doing it not to a person's face, but always doing it behind their back with the idea of causing them harm. James does not consider these people to be his enemies. He refers to them as brethren, but he does consider them to be practicing something that is destructive to the church or to the body of Christ. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. And here's why. He that speaketh evil of his brother, that is, who practices in a person's absence what we would call running them down, is in essence judging his brother. Judging means to make a decision. If you don't make a decision, you're not judging, because decisions have to be made in order for the process to be complete. And these decisions that these people were making were based upon personality conflicts. They were based on these battles that they were having within themselves. And they were simply taking hearsay, they were judging motive, and then they were speaking. They were speaking their decisions. And their decisions, as they spoke them, always tend to ruin someone else's reputation or so impair them that they would have to leave the office they held or perhaps even be dismissed from the church. In secular matters, it's what we call rumor mongering. You want someone who is a judge, you want someone who is a teacher, you want someone in a public position, you would like to see them leave or you'd like to see them ruined. You simply begin to circulate rumors. You begin to tell others what you feel like they did do or didn't do, and these people tell other people. And finally, there's such a body of misinformation and disinformation until those people, their lives are ruined, their professions are ruined, and they have to leave. So that's the idea here of judging a brother, to make a decision. I hear people today talk about, well, I'm not judging, I'm a fruit inspector. And that's really what this word implies. And if we think, well, I'm a fruit inspector and I'm not a judge, I don't think we can say that there is a difference. You know, if you go to the produce department and you pick up an apple and you look at it, you're going to judge it. And you lay it aside because you don't feel like it's what you want to buy. Pick up oranges, you pick up head of lettuce or whatever, you examine it, and for some reason you judge it not to be what you want, and you lay it aside. And really what we ought to be is tree inspectors, fruit tree inspectors, but not fruit inspectors. And there is a great difference. When Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them, he meant you'd know the tree. So we ought not to examine fruit, because we will make decisions, but we can examine the fruit for the idea of determining what kind of tree it is. You know, you look at an apple that's under an apple tree, and you make a decision about the tree, not about the fruit. There is a difference. You look at a tree that has a lot of oranges scattered under it, and you make a decision, not about the fruit. You already know what the fruit is, but you make a decision about the tree. So this is what James is talking about. We're not to, quote, inspect the fruit so much as we are to inspect the tree to see the nature of the tree by the fruit that it bears. But anyway, there's more to judging than simply criticizing. There is the idea of using the information to destroy. That's the idea of judging a brother or harsh criticism. But anyone who judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. That is, those who would look at a brother and decide to run the brother or the sister by some means of harsh criticism, rumor mongering or gossiping, they in essence are breaking the law. They are not simply talking bad about that person, but they're talking about the law that is to regulate that person. They speak evil of the law and judge the law. Now that's not the law of Moses. It is the royal law that's mentioned in chapter 2. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Now he quotes from the Old Testament, and therefore it would be the same law or commandment that Jesus spoke of when he asked, what is the great commandment? So the royal law, the great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, thy body, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's the great commandment. That is the new law that Jesus said he gave, which was not a new law. That is the royal law here. So when we speak evil of a brother or a sister so that we may destroy that person, then we are denying the law by which Christianity is to be regulated and the relationships within the church are to be regulated. We're actually destroying and setting aside that law. Here James refers to these, as I said, in James 2 and 8. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. If you make decisions about the law, that is as to its worth and to its necessity and to its application, you're not obeying the law and implementing it, but you're simply setting yourself above it and excusing yourself from it. Have you ever noticed how if we don't want to love someone, we can always say, well, I know what the Bible says, but, and then we excuse ourselves from having to do what the scriptures tell us to do. That's something of the idea here of judging the law and not being a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. James meant for these people to understand that it is not for me and you to judge the Word of God. We are to obey the Word of God. We're not supposed to take this book and decide this is a good part and this is a bad part. I can do this part, but I can't do that part. I like these verses, but I don't like these verses. And that verse, and thy neighbor is thyself, is the hardest part, perhaps, of the commandments of Jesus to keep. It's not difficult that we keep the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. God is not difficult to love. If you'll just stop and think about it, God of grace, God of mercy, God of plenty, everything that you and I would like to be, God is. And he's offered his grace to us. Why would it be difficult to love God? Anyone who says, well, I can't love God, would have a terrible misunderstanding of who God is as to his character and to his nature. We're saved by grace. We're kept by his power. He is our Father. So it's not difficult to love God. So what part of the royal law is it that we would like to ignore? It is the part that says, and thy neighbor is thyself. That's the part these people were having difficulty with, as James recites it here. It wasn't so much the difficulty of loving God, but the difficulty of that last statement, and thy neighbor is thyself. So obviously they were sort of saying, look, I know what this is, and I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my... But if they, you know, if God knew brother so-and-so like I know him, he wouldn't love him either. So they became judges of the law rather than doers of the law. And James states there's one lawgiver. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad that you don't make law for me. And I'm glad that I don't have to make law for you. I'm glad that you and I are under one lawgiver, and any laws you make, I don't have to obey, and any laws I make up, you don't have to obey. But both of us are bound by the laws that God has already given, which is in this book right here. Now that makes it easier for both of us. There is one lawgiver, and this one lawgiver is able to save and to destroy. It is God who has the power to save. It is God who has the power to destroy. And this word destroy here isn't just taking physical life, but it has in it the idea to ruin. And I rather think that's what some of these people in these congregations were doing to whom James wrote. They were actually taking their tongues and destroying or ruining one another. Ruin somebody's business by what you say. Ruin somebody's reputation by what you say. And these were fellow people in the congregation. And you can imagine how detrimental this was to the work that God had called this body of people to do when they were so set on destroying one another. And James reminded them that God is able to save, and God is also able to utterly ruin whomsoever he decides to ruin. I can't ruin anybody I decide to ruin. I may get ruined. I can't destroy somebody's business. I can't destroy their health. I can't do that. I might have some power to do it, but you know, you can't always succeed. But somebody who can succeed is God Almighty. And these people needed to be reminded of that. And then he simply asked, who art thou that judgest another? And this word another here is the word neighbor. And that's how we know that it applies to that part of the royal law or the great commandment, and thy neighbor as thyself. Who art thou that judgest thy neighbor? We're not supposed to judge our neighbor. We're supposed to love our neighbor. That's the point. It doesn't mean that we can't see that here's a person who drinks, or here's a person that lies, or here's a person that's unfaithful. That's an obvious thing. But what he is saying is we must not judge that person so as to attempt to destroy that person because they stand in our way of doing something that we would like to get done. The Word of God tells us that there are many dangers when men judge men. That judging one another, we use circumstantial evidence. Most of the time, we're very prejudicial. We want to find a person guilty because we don't like them. We would like to find them innocent because we do like them. Many times, we're wrong in our judgment, especially if our judgment is hasty and filled with revenge. Oftentimes, we approach it from the viewpoint of just not finding out if a person is innocent or guilty, but simply pronouncing guilt or innocence upon them, and therefore it is an act of conceit rather than an act of honest judgment. When you seek to judge someone, or be a fruit inspector, or even a fruit tree inspector, which I think perhaps would be our better position, you ought to ask yourself, first of all, what Jesus meant in Matthew 7:1-5. Where he states, judge not, lest you be judged. What he means by that is, judge yourself before you judge another person. 1 Corinthians 2:12-15, he tells us to be spiritually minded. Philippians 1:9-10, he tells us to abound in love. So if we will use these three criteria before we judge, that is, first of all, judge yourself. Secondly, have a mind that is guided by the Spirit. Secondly, have a mind and heart filled in abounding love. And keep in mind the final judgment. Jesus will be the judge. The Father hath committed all judgment to the Son. It will be a fair judgment, and it'll be a final judgment. James realized that this congregation, these people of God, they had serious problems. But they could repent. They could change. They could get right with God. And they could get right with one another and stop harshly, critically, with criticism, judging one another with a viewpoint of destroying and ruining. You know, there is a sense in which we must look upon a brother or sister and judge their circumstance in order to have a proper degree of pity and concern to see who they are and what's happening, the kind of circumstances they're involved in, and therefore arouse our compassion, our pity toward them. So judging a person with the idea of helping that person is not wrong. Looking at a person's life circumstance, looking at their weaknesses, at their strength, and saying, I'm doing this so I can help that person, that's right. But when we judge a person so as to use their weaknesses to destroy them, then that's wrong. But when we judge them so that we may help them, then that's right. So James is saying, quit trying to destroy one another. Get right with God and get right with one another.